Columbus.
Good evening, I'm Jacob Reimer. The college football playoff quarterfinals continue today out in Pasadena at the half. Indiana is up 17-0 on Alabama in the Rose Bowl. The winner here will meet Oregon in the Peach Bowl next Friday after the Ducks blanked Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl earlier today, 23-0. Later tonight, it's an SEC clash with Georgia taking on Ole Miss. Kickoff is at 8 o'clock. The winner gets Miami in the Fiesta Bowl, as we know, beat Ohio State 24-14 in the Cotton Bowl last night. Some Ohio State football transfer news. C.J. Hicks has announced that he'll be entering the transfer portal. Also hitting the portal is backup quarterback Lincoln Kienholz. He announced this morning that he will enter his name when the window officially opens tomorrow. In the NFL, Saints wide receiver Chris Olave will be out Sunday at the Falcons after doctors discovered a blood clot in his lung. He'll be sidelined for about a month before being ready for the offseason program. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
Don't let that team stand in the way.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh! Grand Rocker for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3.
This is the Buckeye Show.
Off and rolling here on a Thursday. I am Brandon Beam hanging out with our guy Dylan Tyre. Jacob Reimer behind the glass. Happy 2026, everybody. DT. What's going on, buddy? Good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's great to be back with you. It's been quite some time since you and I got together. We're both Bears fans, so I know we got the opportunity to, to talk a little ball, talk a little Ben Johnson and Caleb before we hopped on.
We needed some cheering up after last night's game.
Yeah, no kidding, man. We got a lot to talk about here. It's going to be kind of a nice show to be able to do, to talk about these things with some other people, right? Yeah. Work our way through what happened last night.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting game, right? I mean, you spot Miami 14 points. Not that you spotted them 14 points. I mean, you had a three and out first and foremost out of the gates defensively. You felt like you were going to be okay. You're like, all right, defense looks pretty good. Carson Beck, I thought, made a couple of really good passes on that first drive, but unfortunately his receivers couldn't come up with them. And I'm like, all right, you're going to get the ball back. It's going to be fine. Whether you score points here or not, you're going to play field position. And then from there on out, I think it was Miami's second or third possession of the game. They went on a 13 play, 83 yards, I think it was, 8-minute drive. They got up. You're like, okay, you've been here before. This is familiar territory. It's fine. The offense isn't clicking. Ryan Day's back to calling plays again. You just kind of need to wade into the waters. And then you get the ball back after being down 7-0. 50-yard pass to Jeremiah Smith. They're like, all right, we're back.
Yep.
We're back. Everybody calm down. We're in the red zone. Julian Sain, unfortunately, couldn't find Will Kaczmarek in the back of the end zone. I think it was the play right after Jeremiah Smith and the big play. And then the very next play was the pick six. And then you're like, uh-oh, this is going to be a dicey situation coming back from here. But yeah, I thought, I was doing the postgame show with Justin Zwick last night. So, you know, I've had some time to kind of expand on the thoughts. But I think ultimately that shot clock for him got so sped up, Dylan, for Julian Sain, that is. And the Miami defensive line, we had heard about him for, you know, 9 days, 10 days, however it was, leading into this game, but they were awesome. And Reuben Bain is going to be the bane of your existence. Sorry for the poor pun there, but that he was going to be a havoc wreaker. And there, if there was one guy on Miami that you couldn't let beat you, it was going to be him. And he was the guy that beat you. And Julian Sain was under siege all night. That clock got sped up for him. And you could tell that Ohio State offense all night was trying to figure out the chess match, and eventually that they never ended up winning.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see that from Julian Sain, because he had passed the tests until that Indiana game, right? You think about the first time Ohio State went onto the road in a hostile environment. That was Washington. He passed that test with flying colors. Same thing with Illinois. That was stress-free. He goes to Michigan and obviously overcomes the early interception. A rough start in that game, and Ohio State gets it done in the end. Indiana, little bit of pressure. He struggled. Mm-hmm. This game, the recipe was there again, right? You've got a stellar defensive line, and he struggled because there was a significant pass rush in that game. What I don't think you expected in that game was to see Ohio State get manhandled really on both sides of the ball at the line of scrimmage. That was the concerning thing for me right off the bat. And then the moment that, you know, I started to panic maybe a little bit, it gets to 14-0, but Ohio State has the ball going into halftime, essentially, right? And you're thinking, okay, they could double tap here and this thing could be tied coming out of half relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. And then the Buckeyes are off to the races from there.
14-10 at minimum,
At minimum. And then, you know, they're coming down the field on that final drive of the first half, and I'm kind of thinking to myself, I'm like, let's go here. Like, you gotta speed things up a little bit. You don't want to settle for a field goal here. You want to take a shot to the end zone. You want to score. You want to get down to the 20 and give yourself at least a couple of throws and then kick. And that never really happened. Like, it just kind of slowly matriculated and slowly materialized. And, you know, at that point, at least they were getting the ball in the hands of their playmakers, quick throws, and letting those guys create yards after the catch, which is another thing they hadn't done great to that point.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, they found a little bit of a recipe here, but then you settle for the field goal. I think, you know, you're reacting to the game on Twitter. Everybody's like, okay, everybody knew he was going to miss that kick. And then you didn't.
I think whether you're on Twitter or not, like when you're watching the game, you're listening to Paul and Jim. I don't think if you would have polled Ohio State fans at that moment in time, whether Jaden Fielding was going to make or miss that kick, that's like a 90-10. Everyone in Buckeye Nation is like, there is no way that he's going to make this kick. And it was a decent kick. Like, he had the leg on it, but yeah, you could tell immediately
he pulled it left.
Yeah.
Like,
it happens to me all the time on the golf course. Not under that amount of pressure, but I have a tendency to have the hook sometimes. And given the circumstances, what we saw late in the Indiana game, and then throwing Jaden Fielding into a high pressure situation, kickers are interesting, man.
Yeah. Like college kickers, especially.
College kickers, we know that. But it just didn't seem in the cards when they missed that kick, and then you're still down 14-0, and then you come out in the second half, you kind of get things together, but
they still didn't play with that urgency though. That was the thing.
Three drives in the second half.
It's crazy. That's. You can't take those drives for granted, right? Because you don't know how many you're going to get in a game like that. You know, Miami is going to want to run clock. I know you're trying to dial up the pressure on them and force them to throw the ball and maybe take shots, but they didn't have to do that because when you got them into those third and long situations or third and medium situations, oh, here's a little dump off to a running back, or here's a big push by the offensive line when Carson Beck running.
Mm-hmm.
And the Buckeye defense, that's another thing in this game. You became accustomed to them getting off the field really at will throughout the season. In that game, they were tested, and they couldn't do it when it came down to it.
I think Sonny Styles summed it up really well last night with our very own Tyler Danberg in our post-game show, where Sonny Styles, you know, he was asked about that. Like, you guys have been so good on third down all year long. And Miami was 50%. It's not like that they were, you know, resetting history last night with their third down conversion percentage. But when you juxtapose that to Ohio State going 3 of 10, Miami goes 7 for 14, and Sonny summed it up pretty well. He goes, there were leaky yards. You know, we stopped Mark Fletcher at, you know, 2 yards, and then he would end up getting 4, or he would end up getting 5, or we would stop someone at 6 yards and they would end up getting 9. And they just, it seemed not that they were ahead of the chains all game long, but they did. When there was a point of contact, they always fell forward, mm-hmm. and that there were, you know, 1-2 extra yards that they kind of got to get him from a 3rd and 9 down to a 3rd and 6, where then Carson Beck could use his legs. Like, it didn't go well for them last night. I thought point of contact was a big thing. And I thought, just to be quite frank with everybody, that it was probably the worst tackling display that we've seen out of Ohio State all year long.
Yeah. They straight up got beaten. They got out physical pretty much in every aspect of that game. And it comes back to some of those critical moments. You think about when Miami decided to punt when they had the ball on Ohio State's side of the field after the overturn on the third and what looked like it was a conversion.
I thought it was. Yeah. I don't know how that got overturned.
Yeah, it got overturned. And at that point, you're like, okay, we got a break here. Does Ohio State do anything with the ball after that? Nope. Unfortunately, they did not. So there's moments like that in the game. There are moments like the Carson Beck, what was it, the 3rd and 9 scramble for a first down, or was mm-hmm. it 3rd and 11 scramble for
third
a first
nine,
down
think,
in the
yeah.
second half?
Yep.
That's a huge moment that you need to get off the field and really get some momentum rolling at that point. And, you know, they couldn't do it. So it's just those tiny moments in the game like that, that they come back and bite you. And that's what's frustrating, I think, as an Ohio State fan out there. You're watching that game and you're thinking, okay, they really got punished in this game. You know, they got beaten bad, they got out physical, but they still had those moments where they could have won the game and they couldn't do it.
No, they couldn't. I mean, they had the ball at the very end of the game. You go in, you score a touchdown, you take the lead, who knows what happens. But unfortunately, you were unable to do that. Yeah, I mean, Ohio State, again, field goal attempt at the end of the half, you took up 1:35. I thought it was a great 2-minute drill. Again, to your point, I don't know if there was the exact urgency mm-hmm. that we needed to see them, but they did their job. They got down. I think it was a 48-yard field goal, 49-yard field goal attempt from Jaden Fielding that he ended up missing. But you come out of the half, it's an 8 or 6-minute drive. Boom, touchdown. Like, all right, okay, you're back. You're back into this football game. Then the next drive, boom, touchdown. Okay, everything is copacetic. You're feeling really good about yourselves. And then you get that last drive, 4 minutes and 20 seconds. You give Miami the ball back, and then they kill off the clock. They don't really give you an opportunity to get back in that football game. And I just think as a whole this season, you know, you were so methodical. This coaching staff was, this offense was, about controlling the tempo of the game. And when you needed to go up tempo, I don't know if they had it. I mean, obviously they're practicing it, right? I mean, they're practicing it for hours and hours and hours going up tempo. But you never saw really, I thought, the urgency come along last night in that game against Miami.
They didn't have to do it during the regular season. They just never had to do it. And then at the end of the game, you're relying on your defense, which has come up with a stop every time you've needed it all year long, and they couldn't get a stop. If they had gotten a stop, then they have enough time to go down and score easily. But they couldn't get that stop. They couldn't get off the field. You have to allow them to score that touchdown, and and then you're grasping at straws, hoping for two possessions in the final 55 seconds or whatever.
Got a great show lined up for you. Austin Ward, he's going to join us coming up here at 6:30. We'll talk some Buckeyes with him. And then at 6:45, we'll go over some of the transfer portal entries that Ohio State has had today. That has come thick and fast. We'll do that. 7 o'clock, we'll get into the College Football Pulse. 7:30, Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts is going to join us, talk all things Ohio State. For now, though, Ryan Day, he summed up Ohio State's loss in about 90 seconds. After the game last night, you're going to hear from him coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
I'm back. Scenes of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
Save time, reduce costs, and eliminate printer frustrations with Modern Office Methods, your award-winning managed print services provider. We know how to help your business reduce the cost of office printing by identifying necessary print and paper waste. We can improve your printer fleet and decrease the amount of printer frustration. Why wait? Start saving time and money today. Start with our comprehensive print fleet assessment by going to momnet.com and click on free assessment.
Come on over to Heartland and join our family.
Now, where can you get a full suite of business banking services served up by well-trained, caring employees with unquestionable integrity? It's right here at Heartland. Relationships matter. I'm Scott McComb. Come over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Where banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Don't miss a minute of the Ohio State football postseason presented by CareSource, Kroger, and Spectrum. Celebrate the culmination of the 2025 season with all of Buckeye Nation and follow along on the official athletic site. From the opening postseason kickoff to the final whistle in Miami, we have you covered. It's the 2025 Ohio State football postseason presented by CareSource, Kroger, and Spectrum. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com/postseasoncentral2025 now for more information. Go Bucks!
Toyotathon is on, and it's the perfect time to wrap up the year with a new Toyota. Now through January 5th, get 2.99 APR financing on remaining new 25 Tacomas. Excludes TRD Pro and Trail Hunter. Or lease a well-equipped 25 Tacoma SR5 for $259 a month for 39 months with $39.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
It's game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Join our resident gambling degenerates, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money, Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
All the action, none of the responsibility.
The Fan.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Hey there, Central Ohio. I'm 10 Weather Impact Meteorologist Michael Behrens with your latest forecast. A little bit of scattered light snowfall lingers around the region as we head through this evening and into tonight, but as that comes to an end, skies will clear and temperatures fall into the teens by early Friday. Friday itself, mostly sunny, temperatures in the low 30s. Mix of sun and clouds this weekend will stay in the low 30s. Warmer weather by next week. That's your latest 10 Weather Impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Behrens on 97.1 The Fan.
Someone out there probably thinks we spend too much time talking about the Buckeyes. Please tell someone that they're stupid. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Austin Ward, he's going to join us coming up here at 6:30. Got our guy Dylan Tyre in with us. Thanks for everybody for hanging out with us. Happy New Year to everyone. You can listen on the podcast. You can listen on the YouTube feed. Thanks everybody for jumping in the chat this evening.
Chat is bumping right now. Love to see that.
I like the chat, right? I mean, obviously, after an Ohio State loss, there are going to be questions. So let's go to Andrew. Andrew said, I don't think Ohio State coaches come up with good offensive game plans against elite teams. And when you get a month to prepare, it makes you wonder what they did for a month on offense. Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question, right? I think it is a fair question, especially the last time that you saw this Ohio State team in action 25 days ago against Indiana. They were lackluster then. They were lackluster for sure last night. I just think at the end of the day, the offensive line was not good enough in these last two games. And when your quarterback is under pressure that much, and again, I don't know, you know, what the film review for Ohio State said today or tomorrow or whenever they're going to do it in their exit interviews for this season before they get into winter workouts. I think that Julian Sand had man beaters available to him, but it got sped up to him where he just couldn't get to his progression fast enough where he could find those players. And I thought the screen call was a good call. That Miami DB just made a heck of a play. Jeremiah, unfortunately, didn't get anything on that DB from Miami, made a terrific play. And before you know it, it's 14-0. And now you are playing scratch and claw against a really good defense.
Yeah, the pick six is an interesting one because I saw some people calling that a horrible throw or a horrible decision online. I'm like, what are you supposed to do? The quarterback throws that ball and you're supposed to block the play so that it works out, right? And
you're not expecting a guy to be right there.
The guy, like you said, the DB made an incredible play. Mm-hmm. And
That's film study.
And Jeremiah Smith came up completely empty on it. So it's like, and, you know, some people argue, hey, why do you have your best player blocking instead of giving him the ball? Well, you got to do your job. That was his job in that situation. I think he would tell you exactly that. So that is the frustrating thing about that game, right, is that it looked so similar to what we saw in the Indiana game. And I think that obviously allows people to beg that question. What was the game plan going into this game? How is it any different than Indiana? The concerning thing for me is that you saw the writing on the wall really early in this game, and it took a long time for things to change for Ohio State.
It did.
That is the kind of concerning thing for me, and I did mention it briefly in that opening segment where it was like, I thought you had to get to the quick game early where it was more about yak than trying to pick up chunks through the air.
And you've got guys who can yak.
We saw that on the final drive of the first half. They were just throwing slants and digs and allowing guys to run after the catch with it. Wish they would have gotten to that.
Especially against that defensive front. You want to get it out quick so they can't get back to you.
Yeah, exactly. Of course. Like, and I know that Julian is kind of the mode of, obviously, like a gunslinger. He's looking down the field, right? Like, he's looking for the deep pass. And I think we can all agree, like, his deep ball accuracy is awesome. Like, when he's got time to plan in the pocket and to be able to throw a 40-yard pass down the field, like, he's pretty darn accurate at that. But I think the game plan for Miami was exactly that. Like, we're going to run exotics, we're going to run stunts, and Ohio State's offensive line had no answers for the stunts that Miami was running last night, like, at all. Zero. Zilch. Nada. And when your clock gets that sped up and you're looking down the field, again, like, that comes down to coaching. Like, hey, you need to get the ball out. 1, 2, 3, boom. Like, you got to be going or you got to be moving. And I don't think it was necessarily him holding on to the ball for too long. He was just under duress. And give a lot of credit to Miami, too. I'll be the first one to tell you, I was not a believer in the Miami Hurricanes at all. I'm like, I don't trust Mario Cristobal one lick. I've seen the way that he manages into game situations. I'm like, I don't know if they're that good. They were awesome last night. Yeah. Like, they were really terrific and look like they can do some serious damage now moving forward.
And to think they're not going to have to face a wide receiver group that's as talented as what Ohio State has.
Yeah.
And, like, they were getting beat with deep shots. So, like, if they, I mean, as long as they can adjust to that a little bit, like, they're still not going to have a deep threat like Jeremiah Smith or Carnell Tate to go up against.
Well, to me, early in the playoff, and it's not just the Ohio State game, it's literally every game that we're watching, it's the team with the quarterback that is better, plays better, has more experience,
veteran,
is working out, right? Like, look at that Texas Tech game, and I'm with you. Like, credit Miami. They have first-round talent on the D-line, first-round talent on the O-line. David Bailey in the Texas Tech game caused Oregon fits. Mm-hmm. Like, Oregon was having a hard time in that game. But what do they have? Veteran quarterback in Dante Moore that's poised under pressure, and he was able to get it done.
Four turnovers on defense.
You know, as bad as Carson Beck has been the last couple of years in some big situations, he played a clean game yesterday against Ohio State. What's happening right now in this Alabama game? Ty Simpson, a first-year starter, is having struggles, and you've got Fernando Mendoza, who's played a lot of college football, and they're dicing Alabama up right now.
And he had Alabama apart, by the way.
Carson Beck also had that 3rd-and-11 scramble that he got the first down on. Yeah. Like, that was a huge play in that game,
fact that he fell forward, I mean, how many Buckeyes did he run through and roll like over on that play? Two or three guys? Like, I mean, that's a veteran play right there.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it just seemed like all night that Miami, they were getting the extra yard that you needed to when they needed to. I thought this was interesting from Ryan Day. He was talking about giving up 10 sacks. Ohio State had only given up 6 sacks in the regular season together. Miami or Indiana, they gave up 5 sacks. Last night against Miami, they gave up 5 sacks. They've had 10 sacks allowed in the last 2 games. And he's talking about this to begin with, but he really kind of sums up the entire game here in about 90 seconds.
Yeah, it's hard to just say one thing. You know, we tried to help out. I mean, they have a very good front. And, you know, we felt like it was a little bit of a different scheme than what we dealt with the week before against Indiana. Indiana was a lot of pressure, a lot of movement, a lot of twisting and things. This was a bigger group of guys who are, you know, hard charging, you know, front. So, you know, we went in with a certain plan, and, you know, you can tell right from that first 3rd down that, you know, we had a hard time. And, you know, being on silent, you know, we didn't quite get off the ball on that one, and that caused the first sack and kind of went from there. But I do think there was a point where we got it under control and we were moving the ball pretty good, and, you know, but and certainly the play that you know, Scott made there on the pick six was a huge part of the game. You know, he triggered and hit that thing, and we didn't quite execute it right in terms of, you know, what was going on in the perimeter. I think Julian's decision to throw it, you know, was the right thing to do at the time. But, you know, he made a heck of a play, and that early in the game certainly flipped the scoreboard fast and put us in a hole. And you know, and then, you know, at that point, you know, you got to fight yourself out of it. And we weren't able to do that. So, you know, we wanted to be aggressive. We felt like we did have an advantage downfield in the passing game. And so that was the give and take of it was, you know, we wanted, you know, I think, yeah, Jeremiah ended up with 157 downfield. We felt like we could do that, and we were going to be aggressive, but we also knew the give and take of it. And so that was part of, you know, what we were working through. And at the end of the day, it didn't work.
I don't know if I've ever heard a coach sum up a loss as perfectly as he did in 99 seconds.
Succinct.
It was the whole game. He summed up the entire game for you in 90 seconds. Yep, we were under pressure. It was different than the pressure that we got from Indiana. We knew we had our shots downfield, but there's a give and take in that if you're going to take shots, you need time. And that's why I thought you saw a lot of C.J. Donaldson last night, because he's obviously the best pass protector on the team. And I thought C.J. ran really hard. I thought he had a pretty good game. But you throw one of these young running backs in, like, they're not ready for the stunts and the blitzes, blitz pickups that Miami was running at them. And it just, unfortunately, did not work out. Didn't work out. Wasn't a clean offensive product.
I think that's what it comes down to, right? It's that trade-off where Ohio State feels like they could have won that game if they had the time and the opportunity to push the ball down the field the way they wanted to, and they couldn't do it. And maybe that goes back to what we were talking about to lead off this segment, right? Adjust a little bit quicker. Yep. Why did it take so long to change things, to try and change things? But that's your game plan going in, right? So you got to give guys on the offensive line the opportunity, I suppose, to figure it out. But that's Ryan Day's the guy in charge of things, right? Like, he's the guy that's making these decisions. And if he thinks that, I think Ryan Day in that game felt comfortable with the situation as far as the clock went, right? Like, he felt Ohio State could get back into that.
It was very apparent that he felt comfortable with it.
He was going to give Ohio State at least the first half to figure things out. Probably liked what they were able to do on the final drive of the first half, mm-hmm. and said, all right, we have a little bit of a recipe here going into the second half. And for some people, that's too long, right? For me, even, I think that's maybe a little bit too long, especially in a game like that when you find yourself in a hole. But again, you rely on that defense. It's something you had the opportunity and were able to rely on all season long. And I hate to say the defense let you down, because it's not like they gave up a boatload of points in that game.
No, they didn't. Well, they gave up 17 points.
And Caleb Downs was a monster.
He was great.
Exactly. Yeah, but in some of those situations where I guess you needed to rely on them and have them be the better unit, couldn't get it done for you.
No, they couldn't. Here was Ryan Day talking about if Ohio State was built or not to be able to push the gas pedal of what we've been talking about the opening 30 minutes or so.
No, I don't think so. I think you saw us play with a little bit of tempo today, but you know, when you're not getting first downs early on, you know, you got to make sure you're getting into the right plays and doing what you need to do to get first downs. And you know, I think that some of that stuff did give us a little bit of juice in the second half when we needed to. I thought that gave us an advantage at times in the game, but it wasn't done near good enough. So all things that we'll make sure we look at.
Yep. And I think the biggest frustration, Dylan, for Ohio State fans is, like, if you knew that the tempo was working, and you could obviously see that Reuben Bain was gassed, like, towards the end of the first half, like, I checked myself out, coach, like, I am tired, I'm giving it all that I got. Go to it earlier, right? And I'm sure hindsight is 2020. I'm sure those guys are breaking it down. They've done it all day in the Woody today, and they're going to continue to do it over the next week or so that they're studying over this film and how to get better. But why not go to it earlier if you know that it's working?
Right. That's the challenging thing, isn't it? It's that trade-off that Ryan Day just talked about. Mm-hmm. It's hey, here's how we know we can win this game. Yeah. And I think, is that some of that Ohio State cockiness? You know what I'm saying there? Like, hey,
we're down 14-0. Watch this.
We've had no problems all season long. This has been our recipe this season. We're going to get to it. We're going to be fine. It's a faith in the offensive line, but that offensive line didn't hold up when he needed it to. And Julian Sayin's a young quarterback in college football, redshirt freshman for Ohio State. I thought Julian Sayin throughout this season handled big pressure moments well. Not so much in this game. Yeah. I thought he struggled under pressure in this game. You saw him not throwing balls away at some points, trying to make plays at some points, taking sacks at some points. So it's a learning experience for him, and it's a learning experience for the coaching staff and the offensive line, because I think it's a trend for Ryan Day, right? That, hey, here are weaknesses that were exposed for us last season. This is what we're going to hammer on during the offseason and be better at going into next year. You can bet Ohio State's offensive line is going to be prepared for every possible stunt, every possible exotic blitz you're going to throw at them next season.
You're
right?
Just going to face base defenses all year long now.
Like, the Buckeyes are going to be ready for it, but that's a little bit of copium, I think, at the moment. But it's the fact of the matter, right? Like, we said it right off the top. Buckeyes got beat in this game.
They did.
Like, they just got beat in this game. Miami was better than Ohio State was, and the Buckeyes, that's what they're going to see on this tape. They got some things they got to work on, because it was not pretty.
Austin Ward, he's going to join us. We'll recap the Cotton Bowl with him and a crazy day off the field for the Buckeyes coming up here in 2 minutes. It's the Buckeye Show.
I'm Connie Britton. I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Enjoy more ways to save at Kroger, like low prices in every aisle. And when you download the Kroger app, you can clip and save more with digital coupons every week. Plus, you can earn fuel points to save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. At Kroger, you can enjoy more ways to save and more rewards every time you shop. So it's always easy to save big every day with savings and rewards. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience Buckeye game day like never before. Welcome to the 1922 Club, the most exclusive space inside Ohio Stadium, where luxury meets tradition in the heart of Buckeye Nation. Enjoy upscale food and beverages and a game day atmosphere like no other. Create lasting memories with friends and mingling with other Buckeye fans, and celebrate every OHIO in ultimate comfort. Become a member of the 1922 Club today. Memberships are limited. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
We here at The Fan believe there's no such thing as too much Ohio State coverage. You're locked in to The Buckeye Show.
Back here on The Buckeye Show, we now head out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Check in with our great friend. He is Austin Ward, A-Ward Sports. A very happy new year to you. You are currently in the state of Texas. What happened in the Cotton Bowl last night to the Buckeyes, Austin?
Yeah, I don't know, Beamer. Happy new year. It is going to take a while, I think, to probably figure out everything that happened, but the Ohio State offense has just disappeared, at least the version that we've come to know under Ryan Day for his entire tenure, really, with the Buckeyes. And you know, give credit fully. I should, and I will, to Miami's defensive front. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, really, it was a similar story to one that you and I talked about coming out of the loss to Indiana, that, you know, they struggled to identify where the pressure was coming from, to handle the pressure. That goes not just for the offensive line losing some matchups, although I think that they probably did a better job with the run blocking than they get credit for, which leads me to the point of just like it felt like another strange, ineffective game plan overall from Ohio State. And that's the most confounding part. That's the thing that will be difficult to wrap your head around, because Ryan Day, you know, vowed to get a lot of that fixed. He was going to be more involved, was more involved, took over the play calling role in the Cotton Bowl against Miami. And there were flashes of what Ohio State could do throwing the football down the field. They, you know, with C.J. Donaldson and Bo Jackson, those two running backs combined for 4.7 yards per carry. They had opportunities to move the football and score more points. But when you dig yourself a hole like they did in the first half, being shut out and then throwing a pick six the way Julian Sain did, it's going to be really difficult to win a college football playoff game.
Yeah, obviously that pick six, you know, changed the entire game, Austin. It was the largest deficit I think they faced since, what, 22 Michigan? They, you know, you spotted them 14 points, and it was always going to be tough to dig out against a defense that did very much the same thing against Texas A&M in their opening game in Kyle Field against the Aggies. But, you know, I'm watching that game last night, and I was telling myself, I'm like, all right, get to halftime, get it back to 14-7, you're okay. No, it's 14-0 at halftime. And I'm like, all right, go score a touchdown, get it to 14-7 right after half. And like, that never happened. Then you did get some momentum. You got it back to 14-7. I'm like, all right, you know, you're starting to feel pretty good about this situation. It did seem like the offense got into a rhythm there for a second. But I think at the very end of the day, when it came down to brass tacks, like, Miami's defensive line was just speeding up Julian Sands' shot clock a little bit too much. They were getting home a little too fast. And for whatever reason, this offensive coaching staff, Julian Sands, the offensive line as a whole, could not get it together enough to put a drive together when they needed it.
No, they couldn't. And you wonder, you know, what could have been different if Ohio State, you know, some of the Achilles heels or nitpicking that we did throughout the year, you know what they came down to, Beamer. It was the short yardage. It was red zone. They tried to make an adjustment there. They throw a screen in the red zone. It gets intercepted and return for a touchdown. Special teams that we've talked about ad nauseum all year long. You miss a field goal after that drive that you mentioned right before halftime, where it felt like some of the momentum was coming, and they drive out from, you know, the shadows of their goalposts, go down the field, and then you miss a 49-yarder. Again, that's not easy, but in this day and age and at Ohio State, you need to be able to make a big kick in a big game, and that has certainly not been the case with Jaden Fielding throughout most of his tenure with the Buckeyes. So that, and then what happens if you don't commit an illegal formation penalty on special
huge
teams?
I feel like glanced over part of that game last night, Austin, was that when you force Joe McGuire to kick that ball again, you go from Miami having the ball at their own 10-yard line to the 30, and then obviously they scored points on that drive.
Yeah, it turns into a 20-yard penalty, and in a very different situation for probably how Miami would have chosen to attack that drive and maybe how Matt Patricia would have defended them. So, you know, I guess that's that's why we talked about some of these things that were popping up. And Ryan Day had said throughout the year that the issues are there, whether you win or lose, and you have to address them. And, you know, that I think we'd have to just be honest about it. That didn't really happen on special teams. Now, maybe there's a limit to what you can and can't do, but an illegal formation penalty, that's just attention to detail. That's coaching. That's taking it to the field and executing it. That can't happen. So, you know, I look at it, and I do give Miami full credit. You know, in October, you and I were talking on Buckeye shows, and this would be a fantastic national championship matchup. They're number one or number two, or as these teams have risen up in the rankings and replaced Penn State and Texas and all the others. So it's not as if Miami wasn't talented enough to win this game or that they don't deserve to be advancing to the semifinals. But I left AT&T Stadium last night, you know, shortly before midnight and New Year's Eve coming to a close there, thinking that Ohio State again did more to lose the game than an opponent did to win. And that's exactly how I felt when I left Indianapolis earlier in December.
He is Austin Ward with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Austin, a lot has happened since the clock struck midnight last night. Do you want to fill us in on the latest that is going on in the Buckeye transfer portal and the coaching front? Because I woke up this morning kind of in a haze a little bit. I think, you know, I got home late last night. Justin and I were doing the post game show. I got home not too late, around 1:15. Took me a while to wind down a little bit. And then I woke up and I had so many notifications. And I feel like since I've woke up, all that has been going on Ohio State has been just news after news after news here throughout the day.
Yeah, I mean, it could very well change while I'm talking.
Yes, it could.
A lot of the, you know, and I think it's not because, so, you know, Cortez Hankton, we are expecting, I have not talked to anybody today about how this move works or how it impacts the offensive coordinator search or what will be done about the full-time coaching staff, because
can you clear this up? Because I did see some confusion on social media a little bit earlier, Austin, that, I mean, I know that Cortez Hankton is coming in from LSU. He is going to be the full-time wide receivers coach. You are still only allowed 10 full-time assistants, even though you are allowed to have as many coaches as you want on the staff, correct?
Yeah, so the difference there, and that's why I'm, you know, curious about how this will be aligned, is that you can still hire all of these assistants, but you can only designate, as you mentioned, Beamer, those 10 to go on the road as recruiters. So maybe that won't matter. Maybe that, as you look at what Ryan Day wants to do, if he still intends to hire a head coach of the offense, which I think, you know, looking at this college football playoff run that the Buckeyes were expecting to go on and play three games, that was serving in a lot of ways as an audition period for Keenan Bailey or Billy Fessler or Tyler Bowen. And clearly that didn't go that well in the one game sample size in the Cotton Bowl. So, you know, I don't know that that was the most likely outcome anyway. I don't know that it was never established what would be the odds-on favorite for how Ryan Day would fill that coordinator play-calling role that Brian Hartline had last season and Chip Kelly before that. But I tended to think that someone, you know, like Bill O'Brien or Chip Kelly that he pursued 2 years ago would probably be what he wanted to do again for Ryan Day, to not have to pick up the play-calling and put the headset on and be talking to the quarterbacks again, which, again, last night, it just, if we're basing it off of what happened against Miami, did not work. So I don't know is the answer to how that impacts the ongoing search or what Ryan Day would be looking for. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to, you know, finding out more, because you look at the resume for Hankton and what he's done at Georgia and LSU, it's pretty impressive. So bringing in that development and that recruiting success, important. And it goes hand in hand with what you mentioned with transfer portal activity, that some of this work was being done during the downtime in December, those first couple weeks after the Big Ten championship game, you know, players having conversations with the coaching staff about what their roles were going to be in the future, if they needed to enter the transfer portal, because, you know, Ohio State was still anticipating playing a game, but the portal opens tomorrow. So you have CJ Hicks, who took that red shirt, but we thought he would still return to Ohio State. Instead, the defensive end, he's going to go in the portal. Sam Dixon, from Pickerington North, the reserve running back, is going to move on from the program as well. You know, a handful of others that we're expecting to come down and are being announced prematurely or, you know, one day early. Johnny Thurman, in fact, announced after the game.
Austin, it wasn't just after the game. I mean, it was like 5 minutes after the game.
Yeah, I should say his agent announced that for him, which I thought was very strange timing and a poor reflection of his representation, but that would be my opinion only. Full caveat on that. So I don't blame Jelani. I don't blame anybody for making decisions to move on for what's best in their career in this day and age, but there's going to be a lot of that. And I don't think, as we, chat right here on the Buckeye Show, being that there's going to be major, starting lineup shakeups going on with the transfer portal for Ohio State, but, it will all happen, whatever does, early on in this window, because a lot of these decisions have already been made, Lincoln Keynotes included. He kind of talked about that earlier in the week when Berm and I chatted with him for the Notebook. That stuff is happening. It's part of college football in this day and age. But I think if you're, dealing with, people that are, backups to the bottom third of your roster, that churn is going to go on every year regardless. So not fun to deal with that immediately after the Cotton Bowl, but such is life in the big city.
Austin, always appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on with us. Have a great rest of your trip to Texas, and best wishes and recoveries to your mother, all right?
Appreciate you, buddy.
There he goes, Austin Ward with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. As Austin just mentioned with us, some of the Ohio State players that have hit the portal. We're going to get into more of that coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
26 Buckeye Cruise for Cancer sets sail on the Silver Sea Silver Ray. It's an intimate ship with an even better experience. It's all-inclusive of beverages, shore excursions, taxes, and gratuities. Sail to bucket list ports like the Grand Turk, St. Martin, and St. Thomas. With Buckeye greats including Ryan Day, Bobby Carpenter, A.J. Hawk, the Boren Brothers, Ezekiel Elliott, Ryan Shazier, and more. Sailing from Fort Lauderdale, February 17th through the 24th. Call 614-792-6204 to book today.
I love the neighborhood where I grew up, but it was tough.
Ohio State National Championship quarterback and former CareSource kid, Cardale Jones.
Football helped me find my direction, but I also needed the right support system. Seeing that CareSource heart around town, I just knew they had my back. That's the kind of difference they still make in neighborhoods like mine. This is so much more than health insurance. CareSource, today and always, trusted. Visit CareSource.com.
Life is more fun with a pal. So is pizza. So check out Donato's $5 Pizza Pals menu. Order any large pizza and add on your choice of a sub, salad, wings, a 10-inch pizza, and more for just $5 each. Order your favorite $5 Pizza Pals from Donato's.com today. More toppings, more flavor, more fun. Donato's. Gotta love more.
They're trained. They're prepared.
Let's do it.
They're Ohio's undefeated plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling team. And they're here to tackle your problems. For plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling, there's only one team. The Waterworks. Better care, better value, better results. Call The Waterworks at 614-232-2222. Or visit them online at thewaterworks.com. A proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
The Jackets are back at Nationwide for a battle with the Buffalo Sabres. Live fan coverage starts Saturday afternoon at 2:30.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating and Cooling.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant.
Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable.
The Fan.
All Buckeyes, all the time. You are listening to the Buckeye Show.
Coming up here at 7:30, Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts. He's going to join the program, talk all things Ohio State. I believe Pat is actually back in Columbus now. I think his flight was supposed to get in at like 5. Haven't heard from him. I would assume that he's back. Maybe some delays. I don't know. But he's going to join us coming up here.
Could he be in the sky?
He might be. Yeah, we might just have to call him in the air, which I don't know if that's legal.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's allowed, but that might have to be the situation. So Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts, he's going to join us coming up here at 7:30. You can always watch the show on YouTube. I got to be honest with you guys, 100% clear with you. Like, today's New Year's Day. We got the Rose Bowl that kicked off at 4 o'clock. By the way, Indiana's just absolutely killing Alabama.
It's got a backup QB in for
Alabama. 31-3. Ty Simpson got knocked out of the game. Fernando Mendoza looks awesome. Like, Indiana is the real deal. It's just so weird to say that about Indiana football, but they are. Like, Kurt Cignetti's awesome. They look terrific.
They're doing it for the bye week teams.
They are. Yeah. Thank you. First time ever in college football, at least the 12-team history, that the team with a bye week is going to win the football game, unless something catastrophic happens.
The team with a bye week's going to win the football game.
They're going to win the football game. I didn't think anybody would be watching and listening tonight on New Year's Day evening. So thanks to everybody for joining in on the YouTube chat discourse. After every Ohio State loss, it's death, taxes, and after every Ohio State loss, that in the YouTube chat, we're fixing the world's problems. And by the world's problems, I mean, what is wrong with Ohio State? Is it a big problem? Is it a little problem? I don't know. Go to the YouTube chat and find out, because there's a lot of splinter cells of conversations happening right now.
I love it. These guys, they're firing off in the chat. You and I have chimed in a couple of times there. Lots of theories, lots of ideas going on right now. Nothing's bad. I mean, we got to figure this thing out.
Got to figure it out, right? Got to figure
it
out.
That's what we're here for.
How would you figure out the transfer portal and coaching distractions that is going on? Because it's been a wild month, right? I mean, ever since the Indiana game, Brian Hartline named the new head coach for South Florida. Obviously, it was a big talking point going into the game yesterday and all week down at the Cotton Bowl. Ryan Day taking back the play calling. Brian Hartline was down to the field. Keenan Bailey goes then up to the box. I don't feel like we need to talk about that, because we've talked about that for basically the bigger portion of the show already today. And then the transfer portal going on. The Jelani Thurman thing was a little bit weird last night. I mean, Justin Zwick and I were doing the postgame show before we came on the air. We came on almost like right at midnight last night. So to give you a little behind the scenes, a little inside radio, the way that this works, by the way, Indiana just scored another touchdown. So it's 38-3. Good for them. Have they ever been to a Rose Bowl? I don't know if they have.
I think Alabama's been to more Rose Bowls than Indiana.
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense at all.
It's because of the playoff.
Given the history of the Rose Bowl. It's going to be 38-3. The Jelani Thurman thing was, a little bit weird, and Austin had alluded to it. So we go on the air about 45 minutes to an hour after Paul, Jim, Skip, and Tyler all sign off, right? So it's about an hour after the game. And in that hour, you know, we're usually talking to an assistant coach, or we're pre-recording an interview for the post-game show, yada, 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 whatever. Within that hour, after Ohio State lost, before the locker room opened up, and Dylan, you know this, like any organization, professional, collegiate, the locker room is closed, and then it opens up, and then people can go in, or you get media availability where coaches are coming out. I feel like even before the locker room opened up, the announcement from Hayes Fawcett that Jelani Thurman entered the transfer portal before, like, Coach Day was probably done talking to the team. That was a little bit weird. I know that agents are getting involved now, but that was just it was a weird thing about last night that happened that quickly.
Yeah, it was like as soon as Miami scored that touchdown, the Buckeyes let him in the end zone. It was like, all right, Jelani Thurman's out of here. That tells you that maybe a guy is a little bit, what's the word I'm trying to look for here? He's not happy with his situation. Like,
sure,
he's looking for his way out.
And they played a lot of tight ends this year.
Right?
I mean, that would have been a big talking point. Like, should you be using 14 personnel in this situation? And Jelani Thurman, I think, was obviously the odd man out kind of in that rotation that Keenan Bailey had set for that room.
Yeah, so, like, maybe he's in this situation where he thinks he should be playing. He's not. So, I mean, I understand that. I honestly don't think the transfer portal is a tremendous distraction when it comes to things like this, especially, you know, when the season's over, these guys got to get in the portal because you got to figure out your situation immediately, right? Like, for it to happen that fast is almost, it's comedic. Like, you and I are kind of joking about it, how fast it happened, but I guess that's the nature of the beast, right? That's the way it has to be. And, you know, I've seen some things. Maybe Florida is a good landing spot for him. I think they need tight ends down there. But I don't think that's as big a distraction as the coaching thing.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking about that today.
Oregon looked pretty good, and they lost both their offensive and defensive coordinators.
I was going to say that, where their defensive coordinator is going to be the head coach at Cal, but he coached this game, right? Like, the coaching staff is still intact at Oregon. And I'm not, like, I'm kind of back and forth between whether or not that's a good idea. We see what happened at Ole Miss, right? Like, maybe that's a different situation because it's not a coordinator, but Lane Kiffin wanted to stay there and coach Ole Miss through the college football playoff, and they said, no, you're not doing that.
Also a different situation, though, right? I mean, going to a conference opponent, you are the acting head coach of Ole Miss, taking the active head coach job at LSU.
That definitely is a different situation, but I still think that the coordinator thing can be a little bit of a distraction, right? Especially, like, did Ohio State make it more of a distraction by giving Ryan Day play calling? You know what I mean?
That's a Ryan Day call.
Oh, 100%.
Right? Like, you should have had Brian Hartline up in the box calling plays.
100%.
Keep it, you know, keep the ball on the golf course kind of thing.
Yeah, everything, you know, hindsight's 20/20 now on everything, and,
sure,
and you can second guess and question everything. But I was thinking about that today, and, you know, I'm watching the Oregon game, and I'm thinking, well, their defense looks really good, but, you know, a guy like Brian Hartline that has close relationships with so many players on this team, mm-hmm, and has been such a critical recruiter for Ohio State and was the offensive coordinator this season, it's got to change the mindset for the players a little bit, right? Like, knowing that guy's not going to be there after this game or after the next game or after the next game. It does have to change things, or it does have to change things mindset-wise. And I do go back to that. Like, I'm wondering if it became more of a thing than it needed to be with Ohio State and Ryan Day changing the play calling up.
Yeah, and again, to your point, hindsight is always 20/20 after a loss. It just didn't look like the offense that we have become accustomed to. And maybe we should. I mean, because that has been the Ohio State offense the last couple of years. Like, what you saw last night and them trying to kill off a ball game with possession and slowly bleed the clock down, like, that's what it was. I know that they went up tempo last year a little bit when they needed to, but you also had a 5-year veteran quarterback instead of a redshirt freshman quarterback at the helms. Other transfer portal news today. You did get, I think, Mason Maggs, a backup quarterback, entered the transfer portal. Lincoln Keenholz entered the portal. Put a pin in that. We'll come back to that. Bryce West went into the portal. 3 years of eligibility remaining. That one stinks.
Yes.
I know that we could talk about Jelani Thurman, and, you know, it is what it is, and just not going to pan out for him. That's okay. Go somewhere else. CJ Hicks entered the portal. I thought we were all kind of under the guise that if you redshirted him, maybe it's a year again that you can bring him back, and then we'll see what happens. But he entered the transfer portal. Sam Dixon entered the transfer portal as well. The Bryce West one today was the one that stung. I mean, that's a terrific young player. I think he was a top 75 recruit, yep, coming out of high school. He had 3 years of eligibility remaining. That's a young player who I'm sure that these DB coaches, Tim Walton, Matt Guerrieri, anybody involved with those defensive backs would like to get their hands on. Bryce West played in a decent amount of games this year. You would have loved to have him back. So not that it's a surprise, but these things are going to happen. When you lose a game like this, the transfer portal opens tomorrow. So to your point, Dylan, you got to get it. If you're going to go, you have to jump immediately, and there's not a lot of wiggle room time for these guys.
Yeah, and you're seeing these guys leave Ohio State, and I know as a fan that always stings. You're thinking, oh, what could have been with this guy? But, you know, it looks like Ohio State's going to retain a lot of talent, obviously, and they're always going to have a lot of talent being Ohio State and the recruiting reach and the pull that they have. So I wouldn't be overly concerned about some of these guys leaving. It's not like the big names or any of the starters are transferring.
You expected
out of Ohio
Lincoln
State
to leave, right?
Of course, right? Yeah. Like, the path is not there for Lincoln Keenholz. No. You have guys behind him that are pushing. You obviously have Julian Sain already having beaten him out for the job. So I think it was, you know, maybe a surprise to people that he had stayed as long as he had, yeah, right? Like, he could have left right when he lost that battle, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's a surprise whatsoever. And I think a lot of people would want good things for Lincoln Keenholz. No.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right.
I think he was originally a Washington commit.
Was he?
If I remember correctly,
Lincoln Keenholz's commitment. It's like, this guy is a three sport athlete and he's awesome at all three sports.
Yeah.
So, best of luck to him wherever he goes.
Yeah. I was, you know, if he originally committed to Washington, maybe still ties there. Who knows?
Yeah. So, yeah.
I think his handicap's pretty low in golf. Too.
I get his TikToks all the time of him golfing on TikTok. He's tremendous. What an athlete.
I think Austin has talked about that. Like, I don't know if he played around with him or
the compression, you can see the videos of him golfing on TikTok. When he hits the ball, the compression is crazy. It's like a pro.
Yeah, that's something that I wish that I could have,
seriously.
I absolutely do not. A new national champion will officially be crowned this season. We're going to cover that. A game's going on right now and other things going on in college football on the Pulse coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
the two most mature people working at the radio station.
And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
As a teacher or coach, do you ever feel overwhelmed supporting kids' mental health?
Teachers need tons of help.
I had never experienced players being so down that they can't even participate.
It's so important that we are constantly educating ourselves.
It's the same as the CPR class to me. We're trying to save a life here.
The Kids Mental Health Foundation has free tools and information developed by experts. Scan the QR code or check out kidsmentalhealthfoundation.org to get started.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters. A fun, casual joint and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Paul Keels here, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You have to check out the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Buckeyes sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeye MVP membership upgrade for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
Attention Columbus. Town Properties just clinched the title of the largest residential property manager in Columbus, thanks to the Columbus Business Journal. With pride, we oversee 25,000 plus households in the Columbus metro area, ensuring fantastic places to call home. Whether you're on the hunt for an exceptional living space, a top-notch association management company, or a property manager for your multifamily portfolio, visit our website at town-properties.com and let us elevate your living experience. Town Properties, always managing great places to live.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance is prepared for what's next and protects what matters most to you. With independent insurance agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova Insurance is an easy win for your peace of mind. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good evening. I'm Jacob Reimer. The college football playoff quarterfinals continue today out in Pasadena. Indiana is rolling Alabama 38-3 there in the fourth quarter at the Rose Bowl. With Indiana in control here, it sets up a rematch with Oregon in the Peach Bowl next Friday after the Ducks shut out Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl earlier today, 23-0. To cap the day, we have an SEC clash between Georgia and Ole Miss. Kickoff is at 8 o'clock. The winner gets Miami in the Fiesta Bowl after they beat Ohio State 24-14 in the Cotton Bowl last night. With the offseason here for Ohio State, the transfer portal officially opens tomorrow, and so far seven Buckeyes have said they're hitting the portal, including linebacker CJ Hicks, cornerback Bryce West, and backup quarterback Lincoln Keenholz. This one's sponsored by Eco Plumbers. Get $500 in free plumbing services when you buy a new water heater. Visit geteco.com and book today. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time for the College Football Pulse on the Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
Hour number two of the program for us. Thanks, everybody, for joining us here this evening. Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts. He's going to join us at 7:30. We got Dylan Tyer in here this evening. I say, I thought Indiana was going to win this football game. I didn't think it would be like this.
No
Indiana
way.
Is up 38-3 against Alabama. And if the score doesn't tell you enough, it's not even really that close. Indiana may as well be up 100-0 at this point.
Fernando Mendoza's not in the game anymore. I think his little brother's going out to take snaps right now.
Dylan, this game is going to be over before the sunset on the San Gabriel Mountains, which is a travesty to the entire nation that you're not going to be able to see that scene.
What an absolute... Ugh, what a shame.
Actually... Is it bad that I wanted Alabama to win this?
You wanted Alabama to win? Why?
Because
what's your reasoning behind this?
Because of Ohio State's loss last night, and comments made by one Joel Klatt going at the NCAA tournament, saying that this is the best format in the college football playoff to crown the best champion, that I wanted Indiana to lose so that now the top two teams are officially out and you're not getting the two best teams winning the championship.
No, I think that's a bad reason to be cheering against Indiana.
I know it is. It's petty.
You were just rooting for chaos.
Yes. I mean, it's petty, but I only did it because Ohio State lost last night.
You're telling me that you're cheering for Alabama football over Indiana football in the Rose Bowl?
I mean, it wasn't like extremely hard cheering. And like, I wasn't voicing it until now.
You'd just be okay if it happened?
Yeah.
Beam, I think the first time you and I ever met each other was actually in the Rose Bowl parking lot after OSU Washington.
I think it was. I was there with Rothman.
That's wild.
Doing the show. And then were you still at OSU?
Yeah, I was that was the last Ohio State football game I ever called. I was in my senior year at Ohio State. We went out and broadcasted the game for student radio. And yeah. Then you and I crossed paths in the parking lot and you said, what's up?
Yeah, and you guys did a great job, but way better than we did when we were doing student radio. I'll tell you that. You guys had the ship very high and tight compared to when we were doing it. I mean, so Indiana just got a fourth down stop on Alabama, on the plus side of the field for Alabama. Kurt Cignetti, absolute psychopath, just ran a delayed blitz up 38-3 with 5 minutes left to go in the Rose Bowl, up 38-3 against Alabama. And he still looks like he wants to murder someone on the sideline.
Do you think if they give him a rose to put in his teeth after, he's just going to chew it up and swallow it?
I hope so.
With the thorns on?
I think so. I think that's exactly what he's going to do. Games earlier today, Oregon just smoked Texas Tech. It was a fun game. Oregon felt like they took control kind of middle of that third quarter, Dylan, when they scored that touchdown. It was back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Defenses prevailed in that one, but Oregon also looked awesome today.
Oregon did look really good. Shout out their defense. They were terrific. Did you hear the nickname for Uiagalelei, the defensive end?
No.
I think it was Big Concrete or Young Concrete. Yeah, Young Concrete awesome. Is his nickname at Oregon. That's absolutely great. Unbelievable. But that defense was stout. And
yeah, they were.
I'm looking forward to a potential rematch of Oregon and Indiana.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I guess at 3 minutes left, it's locked up here. But
has a Rose Bowl game ever ended without the sunset?
No, we need the sunset. This is an absolute travesty. I was telling you earlier that it's so hard to beat a team twice in the same season. I mean, we saw it with Oregon and Ohio State last year. Oregon, of course, wins the regular season matchup. Then Ohio State blows them out in the Rose Bowl. It's going to be tough for Indiana. I'm really excited to see what that matchup looks like. And, you know, Dante Moore didn't have to do a whole lot today. You know, they tried to run the ball a lot in that game. It wasn't quite working. And then he got in a little bit of a rhythm towards the end of that game. I'd bet Dante Moore comes back and he's looking to prove something against Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah. So a couple of weeks ago, we did our like national champion picks and we like went through the whole bracket and picked all the games. I had Oregon beating Indiana in the Sugar Bowl next week. Peach Bowl. Sugar Bowl's tonight.
Yes.
At 8 o'clock. I might have to make a U-turn.
Mm.
I'm after what I'm seeing today.
Yeah, this is impressive.
I might have to fully go in on the Hoosier bandwagon. Because they look like, I mean, they are just straight up kicking Alabama in the teeth all night long.
This is just gonna sound like I'm absolutely hating Indiana, but like, I have a principle where I have to pick. If you already beat the one team during the year,
picking the other one?
Yeah. So I'll have to pick Oregon.
Let's all stay tuned and find out. Next Friday, we will find out together. Game tonight coming up here in the Sugar Bowl. You get Ole Miss and Georgia. We'll see if Georgia can then continue the streak now of one of teams with a bye being able to win their first game in the college football playoff. Indiana first team, congratulations, in the 12-team playoff to earn a bye and then get a victory. Reimer, what else you got for us tonight, buddy?
So I just have a few questions for you guys with how things have, I guess, played out through these quarterfinal games. After watching Miami last night and how they looked and kind of their path, I guess, are they the second favorite after Indiana? In your mind?
Miami?
Yes.
Right now, I think they're the fourth betting favorite to win it all.
I think the way that they looked last night, though, obviously they can beat anybody in the country. Like, if you take it to Ohio State the way that you did, and again, I mean, it's football. That's why you actually play the games. Anything can happen. again, like, I'll go to the back of my mind before this game and the big talking points. Carson Beck in big moments, can he deliver? He didn't really have to last night, but he did.
Yeah.
You know, when the question was asked of him, if you can go and pick up a third and 11, can you do it? He did it with his legs. Mario Cristobal, can you coach a team to a victory? They did that. They answered the questions against Ohio State. Can you do that again against Ole Miss and Georgia? I don't know. Again, we'll find out. They looked like what everybody was talking about at the beginning of the season, like in September, October, like, oh, this team is loaded. They are loaded. And they've got a lot of old veteran talent on that Miami team led by Carson Beck. But again, when it comes down to crunch time and you need a time management situation, you need Carson Beck to step up and make a throw. Can he do it? I would be more unsure of Miami in that situation than I would be of an Indiana or an Oregon.
Your point about knowing like what they were like in October and early in the season, like that's why I was kind of nervous for this matchup, because we saw at that time Miami's ceiling and they were being compared to Ohio State looking like one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you got last night.
You definitely saw their ceiling last night.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. After, you know, those games that they played early in the season, convincing wins, right? They were tight games, but they won those games. At that point, I was thinking Miami is a team capable of winning the national championship. Then things get a little bit rocky. Carson Beck gets a little bit rocky during the regular season, the rest of the regular season, and you're kind of down on Miami. I think last night was their recipe. Like, that is the recipe for the U. If they can stay ahead of the chains, if they can stay in a good situation when it comes to the game flow, like if they can control the game flow and the game script, they'll be in a good spot. And what I'm saying by that is, does Carson Beck have to push the football down the field? Does he have to take risks? Does he have to take chances?
That's where they get in trouble.
Is Mario Cristobal going to be under stress when it comes to managing a game? That's where I think I have faith in a quarterback like Dante Moore more so than I do a guy like Carson Beck. So for me, I think Indiana's got to be the favorite. Oregon and Georgia probably have to be, you know, right there neck and neck, number two.
Is anybody expecting Ole Miss to win tonight?
I don't think so, but I don't know how good Georgia is. Like, they've flown under the radar for me so much this season. Like, I just don't know a whole lot about Georgia and what they've got. So
I guess after seeing last night's game, nothing should be surprising.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, if you can stop the run and if you can get after the quarterback a little bit, I think anything can happen in these games.
Do you guys think now with Ohio State out and Ryan Day, and like you're mentioning, because I'm with you on Georgia, like I've not been completely sold on them either. Is this Dan Lanning's best shot at winning one?
100%. I'm thinking that watching the game today, Dan Lanning right now, he was so aggressive in that game. He's got to be licking his chops right now.
They went for it on fourth down about 19 times. They didn't get any of them, but they went for it.
They have already seen the favorites once. They know what to expect. I think they probably have a plan for how they need to beat Indiana. He's licking his chops right now. I think Dan Lanning definitely knows that this is his best opportunity.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think Dan Lanning is a terrific football coach. I think Kurt Cignetti is a terrific football coach. Whoever wins that game next Friday night, I think, is your eventual national champ.
Let's go Big Ten.
With everything that we said, talking about Miami and if they can win a national championship, whoever wins next Friday night's Peach Bowl is your eventual national champion. And I asked Reimer this before the start of the show. I said, in 2005, if I would have asked you what is more likely, that the Big Ten wins one national championship in basketball or wins three in a row in football, which one would you have taken?
Pose that to me one more time.
In 2005.
Okay.
Let's make it 2010.
Okay.
Okay. Last 15 years.
Okay.
Doesn't matter, because the Big Ten hasn't won one in basketball forever. If the Big Ten would have won one basketball national championship in that time span up until now, or if they would have won back-to-back-to-back three times in a row in college football, which one would you have said was a more plausible idea?
It's definitely basketball.
Basketball.
It's got to be basketball.
It's
got to be basketball.
It's basketball.
If I would have told you that Indiana would have would have won a national championship in football, maybe. Asterisk, they just went final 38-3. Didn't
Kurt Cignetti smiled with a minute and 10 seconds left,
did
by
he?
The way.
That's the first time he smiled.
That's why I had to have you repeat that. I was looking at Kurt Cignetti smiling, like, what the heck is going on?
And now he is back to just surly old man, Kurt Cignetti.
Great die job. Great die job.
Oh, it's
on Kurt
terrific.
Cignetti.
I know we've had that talks about Ryan Day. If he dies, he doesn't. Kurt Cignetti definitely died. All right. He does that. You're going to hear from some Buckeyes after the game coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Mara, the meatloaf!
The Fan.
Picture it.
Toyota Thon is on. Wrap up the year with a new Toyota. Now through January 5th, get $3,000 customer cash on remaining new 25 Tundras. Or get 0.99 APR financing plus $1,000 TFS APR cash. With approved credit through TFS, excludes TRD Pro. APR cash must be applied to deal. And every new Toyota comes with 2 years no-cost maintenance. For complete details, go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Go behind the scenes of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
AgPro has been family-owned and operated for over 64 years. We take pride in developing long-lasting relationships and offering first-class customer service. Need a new tractor, parts for your used equipment, or reliable service? AgPro has you covered. AgPro is here to serve you and your operation as your hometown dealer. Visit us today at any of our AgPro locations or go online to agproco.com to get started with your AgPro experience.
The best outcomes for treating cancer come from early detection and early diagnosis.
The James Cancer Diagnostic Center at Ohio State
is designed to provide rapid evaluation and a clear diagnosis.
We are transforming care by giving patients direct access
to cancer experts who study and treat cancer every day.
If you think you have cancer, the choice is clear.
Choose the James Cancer Diagnostic Center.
Hey, Ohio State fans. Next time that snack craving hits, Burger King has you covered with the O-Fry-O bundle. You get a medium fry, 8-piece chicken fries, 8-piece mozzarella fries, and an 8-piece chicken nuggets, all for just $10. It's perfect snack fuel for one, wherever and whenever you're cheering on the scarlet and gray. At BK, have it your way. You rule. Limited time only at participating Ohio area restaurants. BK is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Tax extra.
Experience Buckeye game day like never before. Welcome to the 1922 Club, the most exclusive space inside Ohio Stadium, where luxury meets tradition in the heart of Buckeye Nation. Enjoy upscale food and beverages and a game day atmosphere like no other. Create lasting memories with friends and mingling with other Buckeye fans and celebrate every OHIO in ultimate comfort. Become a member of the 1922 Club today. Memberships are limited. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com.
Common Man and Timmy.
We're all disgusting beings. Things are leaking out of our orifices at all times. You got something leaking out right now.
You don't know it,
but you do.
Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on the Fan, is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Hey there, Central Ohio. I'm 10 Weather Impact Meteorologist Michael Behrens with your latest forecast. Scattered light snowfall remains this evening and into tonight, but impact should be minimal. That will clear out overnight. Skies clear. Temperatures fall into the teens. Friday, look for more sunshine. Highs in the low 30s. Mix of sun and clouds through the weekend will keep us in the low 30s. We should be back into the 40s as we head toward early next week. That's your latest 10 Weather Impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Behrens on 97.1 The Fan.
The best damn radio show in the land. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts, he's going to join us coming up here at 7:30. Now, you and I, Dylan, were unable to listen to Fernando Mendoza's post-game talk.
It might be a good thing.
Apparently, it's all over the place on social media right now that he's just out of control out there.
Well, hell yeah. Good for him.
I agree, man. My buddy, and I've told this story before, right? Like, growing up, had one of my best friends in high school through grade school, you know, middle school and everything. His family, he had three brothers, and he was the middle brother of, they had four brothers, right? So four total. And he was the third youngest or third oldest, depending on how you put it. He's the middle child, basically, of the entire family. The three brothers, The oldest three all went to Indiana. His younger brother went to Purdue. They all played football. And they went to, I think, in a combined 16 years of college eligibility, played in three bowl games between the four brothers. And it was always a thing. Like, we would go over to their house. We blessed their parents. Like, they were awesome. They would always have food and drinks and stuff for us. And it was always like our gathering point. Like, that's where we would go. And there was always 15 or 20 kids in the house playing basketball, playing video games. It was chaos, just pure chaos at that house. And so I'm in a group chat with him. And again, he went to Indiana. I don't think he ever went to a bowl game, and just hates Ohio State. Like, can't handle Ohio State. And obviously, like, a lot of our friends ended up going to Ohio State, and he has just been landed on so thick over the last month or so since Indiana beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. I'm sure he's having the night of his life watching Indiana in the Rose Bowl, getting ready to go to a college football playoff semifinal where they're going to face Oregon next Friday night. The people who don't like Kurt Cignetti, who think he's like pompous and arrogant, I get it. I understand it. But also, it's Indiana football. Like, it's one of the most unbelievable stories, let alone in college sports, in sports history. It's one of the losingest programs ever. And in 2 years' time, Kurt Cignetti has lost two games. One was to Notre Dame, the runner-up last year. One was to Ohio State, the eventual national champion. And then you turn around, run the table, beat Alabama football in the Rose Bowl, number one overall seed, a Heisman Trophy, and now you're going to play Oregon with an opportunity to go to the national championship? I mean, for me, it's hard not to like that guy and what he has done for Indiana football. It's incredible.
Kurt Cignetti is one heck of a coach, man. I don't know, and like, he doesn't need the best recruits in the country to do it either. He says, I'll get my guys and we're going to get it done. How he does that, I have absolutely no idea.
Witchcraft.
Like, I've heard he's got a little bit of Nick Saban to him, where he's just
under the Saban tree, right?
Yeah.
Technically?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Is this precedented? Like, have we seen anybody do anything like this before where he goes
like this, dude? It's Indiana football.
I mean, and he's like an older guy too. It's not like he's a young guy that was coming up through James Madison and built that program, right, and now he's at Indiana. He's
not like a Kenny Dillingham, yeah, or like a Ryan Day when, yeah, he came in.
He's over 60 years old, built something at James Madison. Like, James Madison was in the college football playoff this year.
Yeah.
I know he's not coaching there, but they were in the college football playoff because of what he built, right? He essentially put two teams in the college football playoff. That's crazy.
Three. Because he got his guys into the college football playoff last year and right. This year and James Madison.
Right. It is crazy. I like how cocky he is.
I do too.
I like if he was my head coach, I would love that guy. And man, what he's got going on with Fernando Mendoza. Mendoza is such a character too. I'm now.
I believe you used the word earlier off the air. He's a goober.
Yeah, he is a goober. He really is. I'm looking at social media right now. I'm a great tweet that just popped up. I just know Mendoza sings the ABCs when he washes his hands. That's a great one. Shout out to Smalls on Twitter. He's just such a character, man. Like, his interviews are such must-see TV right now because they're almost cringy, but they're so, like, he's so fired up.
Do you want to hear it?
Oh, do you have it?
You have it for us?
I found something on Twitter that I can just play here.
Let's go.
Fire it up for us.
Okay, hang on.
Let's hear it.
This is good producing. Attaboy, Reimer.
All right. Here we go, Jacob.
Here we go.
To make more history this season, why? What is so special about you and this group?
Well, first of all, my team and I want to give all the glory to God. What a historic venue, the Rose Bowl, one of the best venues in all of sports. It's just a great conglomerate of individuals coming together and really forming complementary football. Coach Zig has hit on us no complacency. And especially when you have a bye, it's tough to get in the rhythm of football. But once we got our feet on the ground, we knew that we're going to stick together and come out with this W.
It took you a second. The opening series, you get sacked twice. You have to punt. I just saw Alabama defensive linemen coming over and hyping you up about how good you were today. How did you figure it out quickly?
Yeah, first of all, Alabama, super classy program, one of the most prestigious programs in the SEC. Shout out to them. I mean, they did a fantastic job. However, it's us coming together. And, you know, like I said, the month off, it's kind of like, hey, we got to get our feet wet. Once we get our feet wet, once we get the ball rolling, we're able to hit it in stride and able to put plays together, put you know, first downs together and then put points on the board.
What?
I'm so honored and blessed to be a part of this team, this sports staff, and this coaching staff, and I can't thank God enough for this.
Just quickly, what are your early thoughts on a rematch with Oregon, a team you've already beaten this season?
That's like the first time I actually heard that Oregon won. It just got locked into the game. However, Oregon, fantastic Big Ten opponent. We went over there, and it's really hard to beat a team twice. Oregon, Dante Moore, you know, Dan Lanning, and their defense coordinator, Luke Poy, new head coach Akami. Those guys are legit, and so I think it's going to be a great matchup. Can't wait to play some good football against that. I think it's going to be a great matchup. All respect to them. I mean, I got to get the game plan. I got to get to watching film now. They're a tough bunch.
That was incredible.
It's like this guy writes out talking points on like a note card before the game, hammers them. It's like he's got a photographic memory, and then he just rips them off in
the
post-game. It's
almost like he puts in entries on ChatGPT.
Yes.
And is like reading them, but he's not. Like, that's just who he is. It's like he's reading off of a script.
Is Fernando Mendoza AI?
Someone said he's practicing this in the mirror before the night before.
He probably is. Yeah. He kind of threw some shade on Bama, too. Alabama, historic program. You know, unrivaled program, one of the better teams in the SEC, 38-3 final score.
Listen, I know that we love watching like the Jameis hype videos for, I mean, even when Jameis is like the backup quarterback, he is doing some stuff. But when Jameis starts, he's
the
in there leading.
Horses into war or whatever he said.
I need
year.
Fernando Mendoza to be a starting quarterback in the NFL next season. No putting this guy on the bench. I need him to start from day one because I need those pregame huddle speeches like I need.
Is he going to go number one? You think? Is he going to be the first pick taken in the draft?
I don't know.
They're going to be must-watch TV. I'll tell you that much. If he goes number one, wherever he goes, I'm watching.
I'll go the winner of the Peach Bowl will be the first quarterback drafted.
So him or Dante Moore.
Okay.
Yeah, I could see that.
Apparently, is Mel Kiper's got Dante Moore one, Fernando
two. I think
two,
so.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, but that could be just Mel swerving.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
Okay. Also, I don't know the context of this, he dropped a quote saying, our hoagies are the best hoagies in the nation.
Like hoagies?
Yeah,
like
hoagies.
Offensive
hoagies.
Linemen?
Yes.
Our hoagies?
I could play it, too, if you want me to, real quick.
Here's some more for Fernando. Why not?
Yeah, it was a gut out, grinded out game, and shout out the Hoggies. The Hoggies did fantastic today. Without them, we wouldn't be 38-3. The Hoggies, you know, I believe our Hoggies are the best Hoggies in the nation, and just really can't thank them enough. You know what I mean? Like, not only is it a great group,
how many times can you say Hoggies in 60 seconds?
Hoggies. Excitable. Hoggies. He's just maybe the most excitable player college football has seen in the last two decades.
He has got to be the best person to get a gift for. Like when he opens up a present on Christmas or his birthday, he's got to be so fun. He makes you feel like the best person in the world.
An avocado. Thanks. I can make guacamole with this. It's going to be the best guacamole ever.
Our Hoggies are going to love that guac.
Yeah, this family's going to love this guac. Thank you so much for the avocados. Shout out to Indiana, man. 38-3 winners over Bama and the Rose Bowl. They're taking on Oregon next week in the Peach Bowl. Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts. He's going to react to everything going on in the last 24 hours with the Buckeyes coming up with us here in 2 minutes. It's the Buckeye Show.
Up early on snow days because snowed in is not an option. The Kubota snow lineup of compact tractors, RTVs, and versatile attachments are built to thrive in the winter. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment with 0% financing available or save up to $6,000. Now through December 31st, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Find your local Kubota dealer at BuckeyeKubotaDealers.com.
Already prepping for next week's matchup? Get your best rest yet with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's and choose from PillowSoft plush dual feel and extra firm mattresses with Bob-O-Pedic memory foam that will have you dreaming of game day in no time. So shop in-store or online to score the latest in affordable luxury mattresses without the luxury price tag. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
If you still have a weird rash from jumping in Mirror Lake, we can be friends. This is the Buckeye Show.
Hanging out with Dylan Tyre tonight. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out in the YouTube chat. You can always go back and listen to the podcast, listen on the stream, all kinds of different places for you to go. Right now, we head out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Check in with our guy of Bucknuts. He is Patrick Murphy. Murph, thanks for the time. Always appreciate it. How was your travel back from Texas? Did you make it back home this evening to Columbus?
Yeah, I am back home. The travel itself was fine. The transfer portal entrance have made things very complicated, but fortunately the Wi-Fi was solid on the plane, so we were able to keep working through.
All right, good. We'll put a pin in that. We'll come back to that a little bit later in the conversation. What was your biggest takeaway, Pat, last night from the Cotton Bowl as Miami defeated Ohio State 24-14?
Ohio State's offensive line wasn't good enough. Yep. Beam, you and I talked about it. I talked about it with Tim May right before both of us went out there on this show. It was going to come down to, could they improve to kind of get back to where they were the first half or so of the season? And they didn't. It was another 5-sack game. That's 10 sacks in the last two games after giving up 6 in the 12 regular season games. And, I think Miami's defensive line is good, no doubt. Give them credit. The guys did after the game. But also they just didn't play well. And I don't know if it's an injury thing. Obviously, there were a couple of those. Or if this line was just not as good as we thought it was, but that was the difference. And you look back to a year ago, it was the opposite, right? The offensive line elevated this team to a national championship. So, I think we can talk about this, that, or the other thing. But for me, I mean, that's where Ohio State lost the game is the battle in the trenches.
Pat, this defense was so, so good for Ohio State all season long. It seemed like the Buckeyes could rely on that defense whenever they needed them to. They certainly leaned on them a lot last night, but when it came to that final drive, the defense couldn't get off the field. What did you think of that unit all night long?
Yeah, that last drive was odd because, as you said, Dylan, they've been so good. They've put it on themselves at times this year. We've heard about how they want to be able to win games for the Buckeyes or, when even after games where they only give up 7 points, 10 points, whatever, that, hey, that's too much, So it's been, I still say, the best defense in the country. But in a gotta have it moment where you needed to get a stop, Miami was able to obviously make some plays, particularly on the ground. Carson Beck obviously had some nice runs as well. I think there's some things they're going to have to look at in the offseason. Obviously, there's going to be quite a bit of personnel turnover. I think they did their job, right? If you take that pick six out of it, I think you're right where you thought you would be holding Miami to in that game. So I think if you're a defensive player, you feel like you did enough. And not to put blame on the offense, but it's just, like the Indiana game, they weren't able to score enough to get over the hump.
How much did that pick six, Pat, put them behind the eight ball in terms of play calling, what they wanted to do offensively, given the tempo that we've seen that has been really slow this year for Ohio State offensively?
Yeah, I think that was, any pick six is sure bad, right? But when it happened, you're trying to build some momentum there, get something going. It's only 7-0 at that point. You're not playing your best, but that's a play that if you block it right, and I think that's the biggest issue there. If you go back and look at it, Jeremiah Smith doesn't block his man, and Max Clair looks a bit confused about where he's supposed to be. Not to call out single guys, there's a lot that has to go right for those plays to work. But it completely flipped momentum, but Miami already had most of the momentum, so it built that up for them, and obviously then it puts you down 7 more points. So That was certainly a big moment, but there were a few of them in the game too, right? Like the missed field goal and not capitalizing on things like that. I mean, I think we could sit here and do a whole show on picking out times where Ohio State didn't do the thing that they needed to do in that moment. And, I think it's fair to also say credit to them for coming back and making that a game, right? They could have come out of halftime, not scored or scored the touchdown and then, give up a field goal, and now it's like, well, it's over. We did our best. And so they did fight, and, I know no Buckeye fan will take solace in that, but, I think it's better than, say, that 31-0 Clemson game that I had to cover at the Fiesta Bowl 1 year.
I was there for that one, too. What a bummer. Yeah. Beam just brought up the word tempo. It felt like yesterday the Buckeyes just had to work so hard for their offense in that game. What did you think of the flow, the tempo, or maybe lack thereof in the second half in particular?
Well, I mean, it felt familiar because this is what we've seen all season. But the idea behind playing slow, playing methodically, was to be ready to gear up and crank things up in the postseason. And then we didn't see it against Indiana. And it was like, well, okay, fine. You know, this is when they'll do it. Now they're in the playoff. They've had 3.5 weeks to be ready and kind of, you know, change gears into that higher gear. And it just never really happened. I mean, the end of the first half, a little bit when you're kind of in the 2-minute drill, they come out of that second half and they go down and score, but it was like a 10 play drive. Yeah. That took way too long. So, you know, that's one of the things, the way they do these bowl post games is, you know, the coaches are in one press conference, there's players in another room, and then they open the locker room. So I didn't get to hear or talk with Ryan Day, but that's one of the things I think that really needs to be addressed is like, is this the right approach to, you know, going through the season and then hoping to crank it up in the postseason, because it clearly didn't work last night. And, you know, I think it did work to some degree last year, but it was a whole different team, right? So mm-hmm. I think you need to find a bit of a better balance there going forward.
He is Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Outline. I think just to me, Pat, and I think you bring up a kind of an interesting topic and, you know, talking point that, you know, I mean, last year is a whole different situation, different team. Like, you know, that you had the motivation coming off the Michigan loss. To an extent, you had the motivation coming off the Indiana loss, but it felt so much different. I think we can all agree on that it just felt way, way different than it did coming off the Michigan loss last year. It does seem, though, that this is the way that Ohio State is going to run the offense. And everybody talking about, well, look at the way that, you know, C.J. Stroud and this offense was playing against Georgia back in 21 or 22, whenever that was. Like, that may be a thing of the past. Like, you may never see that version of Ohio State again with the way that they're trying to construct their roster and the way that they are game planning throughout the season to preserve themselves for these playoffs.
Well, I think that will be something that Ryan Day has to decide going forward. And, look, it's worked 1 year. And you can take into account all those things you mentioned. It didn't work this year. So what do you do? And, you know, there's a wide receivers coach that just got hired, but you're still probably going to go get an offensive coordinator, I would imagine. And maybe that hire will tell us something about what Ryan Day is thinking, if we haven't talked to him by then, of just like where this goes from here. Because in my mind, and you know, I'm not making these decisions, I would go get another experienced play caller like Chip Kelly, have him bring in some new ideas. You know, it's still Ryan Day's offense, but find a way to have a bit more balance. You know, I think back to like when the New England Patriots were really humming with Tom Brady and they could slow it down and then they could gear it up real quickly in games when they really got it going. Like, I think you can have a team that plays both ways kind of, and isn't just, you know, the old school Oregon Ducks where you're fast, fast, fast all the time, or you're just super slow. And maybe that's the balance they strike, is trying to find, okay, let's be able to do a little bit of both and grind it out at times when we can, and then be able to attack you quickly. Cause they just didn't do that, especially the second half of the season, didn't do it nearly enough. But again, in order to do that, you need an offensive line that can protect. And I think to go back to the start, that's where it all begins.
Do you have any names for the offensive coordinator who you're looking at, Pat?
You got a resume you want to send in?
No, not me. No, I want no part of that job. No, thanks. Pass.
No, I don't. Look, I think I was, we were so focused on this game. And I think that, to be honest, Ohio State was too. You know, Cortez, the wide receiver coach, mm-hmm. from my understanding, he may have been the only guy they talked to. I don't know that for sure, but he was at least the only one that got reported heavily that he interviewed. So, you know, I think there was a lot of focus on, hey, let's get through this game and then let's decide. I would think Ryan Day will take his time in a similar way that he did with Matt Patricia. But there is, you know, I'm saying I think they'll hire an offensive coordinator. There's still a possibility that he decides to go a different route and maybe promote from within, or maybe he keeps play calling. I don't think that would be the best idea, but you know, I think there's just a lot of different paths you can take here if you're Ryan Day, and I think he will settle down and kind of get past this and then figure out which path he wants to do.
Pat, we're talking about the future of Ohio State, and when it comes to the offense in particular, the way they want to play. You're talking about, you know, these long methodical drives. You're talking about the ability you know, to speed things up and be a little bit more dynamic and explosive. The quarterback, obviously, is a massive part of that. And I think you're seeing it more so now in the NFL that these guys, these dual threat guys, and not really true dual threat guys, but players that can extend the play and get out of the pocket, run for a first down when they need to. They're in vogue right now. And we did see that last night with Carson Beck. He was good using his legs. He didn't really push the ball down the field. But, you know, Julian Sain is not that guy that's going to use his legs a whole lot. I'm not sure he handled pressure terrific in the Indiana game or the game last night. So what are the next steps for the Buckeye quarterback?
Well, I think that the handling of the pressure is going to be important because he didn't face a lot of it all year. When he did, and against teams like Indiana and Miami, I do think it sped him up. And even times when the pressure wasn't there, it felt like he was thinking about it, you know, seeing ghosts, as they say. And that's just something I think you learn with experience, right? Like, this is his first year doing it. He probably didn't get a lot of pressure in high school. And so he's got to go through that. And I think this will be helpful. But the point you made about him running, I think he's a capable runner. He can do what Carson Beck did. He can do what those guys you're talking about in the NFL, a Joe Burrow, you know, even Patrick Mahomes at times. Like, you don't have to make big, you don't have to be Braxton Miller, you don't have to be Terrell Pryor, but just, hey, there's green grass, no one's open, let me pick up 5 yards. You know, there was a point last night when on that drive right before halftime when I think if he'd taken off to his right, he gets about 15-20. Now the clock keeps running, and that's certainly something to consider there, so throwing it away might have been the right decision, I guess. But those opportunities have come this year, and he hasn't taken them very often. I thought we might see more of that in the playoff, like we did with C.J. Stroud in that Georgia game you referenced earlier, Beam. But we did not. So that's another thing that I think maybe, you know, does Ryan Day want him running in those situations? I would think so, because it's do or die. But it's clear that these guys are being coached to try and stay healthy and avoid taking hits. But when you get to this point, I think you got to lay it all in the lines.
Pat, before we get you out of here, in the last hour or so, I believe Logan George has announced he's entering the transfer portal. Dominic Kirks as well. Yep. Brings the total up to 9. Now for Ohio State, after the game last evening, your biggest takeaway on, I guess, the biggest player who has entered the portal? Surprise, not surprise, because I'm certain there will be more before tomorrow than the portal opens.
Yeah, I think, look, this isn't a surprise that the number is. I think, you know, we saw it last year. It was just kind of spread out more because guys entered while they were still making a run. And then obviously some guys afterwards. I think the two that stood out to me were Lincoln Kienholz, which was not a surprise. I guess I'll say three. Lincoln Kienholz, CJ Hicks. I think those two, having talked to them both at Media Day out in Dallas, like, it sounded like that was the likeliest of approaches with both of those guys. But Bryce West was one that surprised me a little bit, because I think there's a clear path for him to play. At least, you know, maybe there's things that he knows that I don't. But with Lorenzo Styles leaving, you know, he was kind of that next guy at nickel. I know Jermaine Matthews moved in there sometimes, but I liked what I saw from Bryce West. So, you know, maybe that means he knows Jermaine is planning on coming back. I don't know that for sure. Those three, probably both the other guys, you know, like Logan George, unfortunate for him that he, you know, spent most of the season injured. I think he could have made more of an impact if he was healthy. Dominic Kirks is a guy they fought for to flip from Washington, but just hasn't really gotten on the field. So I get why those guys are looking for greener pastures. But this is the world we live in, where as soon as the season, I mean, Jelani Thurman literally entered the transfer portal and we saw him leave the locker room like simultaneously. It was incredible.
Yeah, I was telling Dylan earlier on, I'm like, I feel like we got that notification before the locker room was even open to like media availability last night.
Pat. Yeah, I was standing in the hallway outside the locker room with Dan Hope and a couple other guys, and Dan shows me the notification on his phone, and we look up and Jelani just walked out of the locker room. It's like, How did he, who do you tell? How does this work? what is going on? Like, at least give it a minute, man.
Seems but, like know, it's, that was pre-cooked, Patrick.
yeah, I imagine so.
All right, buddy. Always appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on. Glad you made it back here to Columbus safe, and we will talk to you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. All right.
Yeah, sounds good. See you guys.
There he goes. Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Hashtag Buckeyes coming at you next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were 6. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Paul Keels for RV Wholesalers. Peace of mind. That's what you get when purchasing your next RV from RV Wholesalers. With every new RV purchase, Ohio residents receive the exclusive Buckeye Service Guarantee. If your RV is in the shop, RV Wholesalers will give you a free loaner. Also with a Buckeye Service Guarantee, you'll receive free delivery in the state of Ohio and three-day RV exchange. That's the exclusive Buckeye Service Guarantee. Only at RV Wholesalers in Lakeview, Mansfield, Delaware, at RVW.com. RV Wholesalers, a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
There's one medical team in Central Ohio skilled enough to care for your favorite Ohio State team and Buckeyes everywhere. The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center is your choice for the most highly specialized orthopedic and sports medicine care. Our surgeons, physicians, and physical therapists have access to the most advanced treatments and innovative recovery approaches to get you back in your game. Because on or off the field, our team is your team. The choice for your orthopedic care is clear.
Don't miss a minute of the Ohio State football postseason presented by CareSource, Kroger, and Spectrum. Celebrate the culmination of the 2025 season with all of Buckeye Nation and follow along on the official athletic site. From the opening postseason kickoff to the final whistle in Miami, we have you covered. It's the 2025 Ohio State football postseason presented by CareSource, Kroger, and Spectrum. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com/postseasoncentral2025 now for more information. Go Bucks!
It's game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
We here at The Fan want to make your mornings as enjoyable as possible. That's why we bring you T-Bone and Tybus, a delightful blend of sports conversation and laughter. A show so good you'll forget all about your dead-end job and underachieving children. Maybe you saved a lot of money to send them to private school, and then your daughter shacks up with some dude named Fuzz. And you can't tell if your wife's angry or not because she's had so many fillers shot in her face that it can't move anymore. Anyway, T-Bone and Tybus, it's good.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan. Social media can be a cesspool. Allow us to navigate the waters. Hashtag Buckeyes.
Sponsored by the Waterworks. Call the plumbing, heating, and cooling technicians at the Waterworks and Header today. Call 614-232-2222. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
About 6 minutes left here on the Buckeye Show. Dylan Tyre hanging out. Thanks for hanging out tonight, DT. Had a great time.
Of course. It's always good to get together. I feel like this is a good vibe for us, too, going into the playoffs. Yep. Because the last time we chatted was, I believe, either before the regular season or right at the start.
I think it was before. Okay. It was like when training camp was going on.
You and I are both huge Bears guys. We were talking about it a ton before we hopped on here. So this is a good vibe to get back together, regroup, and now we're going into the playoffs.
Can you believe it?
No.
No, I can't either.
No, this is awesome. Like, this is awesome.
It is. I looked at Ted and Justin Zwick last night doing post-game show, and I'm like, well, the only people that can save my football season now is the Chicago Bears. May God have mercy on us all.
Scary place to be, because I was thinking the exact same thing last night. I was like, well, we got the Bears.
That's not a good place to be. But you know what? We're going to have fun all the way through it. Before we get out of here tonight, our fan poll at 971thefan.com or on X at 971thefan. How are you feeling today after Ohio State's loss last night to Miami in the Cotton Bowl? Depressed, pissed off, drunk, slash hungover, or all the above? Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's not the way that you want to end the season. Listen, and maybe this is a topic for a later day when you are a little more than 24 hours removed. I think if you would have gone into the season with all of the questions that we had about this team, right? I mean, think back to during spring ball, to summer workouts.
You didn't know who the QB was going to be.
You didn't know what the QB was going to be. You didn't know what the defensive line was going to be. You didn't know if your linebackers were going to be good. We had questions about the defensive backs. We had questions about the offensive line. Still have questions about the offensive line. But I mean, you coming into the season, I think the main goal for this team, and again, they won't tell you that, because the main goal we know is to beat Michigan, win the Big Ten championship, win a national championship. The standard is the standard. They say that all the time over there. I think if you would have signed anyone up at the beginning of the season, said, listen, you're going to go 12-0 in the regular season. All right, you're going to have two losses, but you beat Michigan. Would you take that? Not winning a national championship, not winning a Big Ten championship. And I think you would have probably been okay with that. Again, like, no one's happy with the loss and the way that you lost that game and getting kicked in the teeth by Miami. I was over the loss by the time that, you know, I woke up this morning. And I was like, all right, well, I mean, that stinks, but it is the game of football. Like, you can only be one national champion. You won it last year. You beat Michigan. You accomplished the goal. You got beat by Indiana by a possession. You got beat by Miami by, well, two possessions at the end of the game, but it was a one possession game for the latter part of that last fourth quarter. So, yeah, I mean, I was obviously upset, but I wasn't going to let it, like, I'm not going to let it ruin my entire year.
I'm kind of on the same page as you, where I'm not going to let it fester. It is what it is, right? The Buckeyes won the national championship last season. It is very hard to repeat, especially in today's day and age where you've got the transfer portal, you've got so much fluctuation from season to season, year to year. But man, a heck of a season by the Ohio State Buckeyes. With that said, a little pissed about it,
sure.
Right? Because you're like,
obviously,
man, they could have won that game. So many opportunities.
And they ended up being so good.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody at the beginning of the season thought Ohio State would be that good.
Yeah, I mean, we had conversations about whether or not this team was better than last year's team, mm-hmm. right? Like, you're looking at what the defense did and what Julian Sain was able to do during the regular season.
Yeah.
Jeremiah Smith on the team in year two after what he did last year. There were real conversations about whether or not the Buckeyes were better this year than they were last year. Turns out they didn't have the same mettle when it came to needing a run, right? But a heck of a season. Heck of a season. I had fun watching them.
I did too.
I want to joke and say it's basketball season now, but I know deep down inside of me, like, I'm a little sad that I don't get to watch Ohio State football now.
Everybody's
until September.
Everybody's sad. It's going to be a long, lonely offseason.
Yep.
All right? I mean, we're going to talk about the offensive line. We're going to talk about the receivers. We're going to talk about the transfer portal, coaching changes, who's coming in as the offense coordinator. I mean, there are millions of things that we are going to have to address in this offseason.
Listen, now is when the Buckeye Show gets real, baby.
It is. Yeah, we don't make our money during football
this
season.
This is when we grind real hard.
We grind during the offseason, mm-hmm. talking about all the topics and what to expect for this upcoming year. Reimer, you did have an interesting stat about the college football playoff teams remaining in the playoffs, did you not?
Yes, so this was put out by the SEC Network on Twitter. That there will be a guarantee now in the Final Four will be a representing coach from the Nick Saban tree. You got Kurt Cignetti against Dan Lanning, and then you've got Kirby Smart against either Pete Golding or against Mario Cristobal.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's nutty. It's not really when you think about it. I mean, because that guy was churning and burning through coordinators left and right.
Godfather of college football, right?
Yeah.
Like if you did an oopsie somewhere and you just went and got blessed by Saban, that's what it was.
It
right?
is.
Like,
who do you think's winning tonight? Are you in on Georgia?
Yeah, Georgia.
Okay,
I want Georgia.
I'll take Georgia by 6.5.
Okay,
and I'm probably gonna put up a lot of points.
All right.
Yeah,
I think I am too. I'm in on Georgia, or I'm not. I don't know. I have no clue. I thought Alabama was going to keep that game close a little bit earlier on. I did think Oregon would handle business, and they did. But yeah, Alabama smoked. I have no clue what's going to happen.
It sounds like Lane Kiffin is going to be in the building for this.
What?
Is he? I thought that's what I've heard.
Dude, you can't do that.
Yeah, and I think Paul Feinbaum said on Bishop and Friends today that he will be in the building.
Paul Feinbaum also going to hype up Arch Manning in Texas as the national champions again next year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's going to be out of control. But the whole offseason is going to be Arch Manning talk about what he did in the Citrus Bowl against Michigan. Watch. Put a pin in it. Right now, Dylan, had a great time with you here.
Thanks, guys.
Let's reconvene as soon as possible.
Let's do it.
Hopefully before a Bears Super Bowl, okay?
Let's do it, baby.
Everybody have an awesome night. Happy New Year. Thanks, everybody, for watching, listening to the podcast and everything. We will talk to you tomorrow for an hour. Then we got Buckeye basketball tomorrow night. Everybody have an awesome evening. Talk to you tomorrow. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.